We have not done Chazara for a while, and we should, and we will, but as Hashem, but we just have a little bit of a tosis to finish off, and then we go back, because the next part of the Gemara is actually a new sugya. We saw yesterday, with regard to HaTova HaMeitiv, you have to mention Malchus in the Brach of HaTova HaMeitiv, and the maskana of the Gemara was that you have to make a number of mentions of Malchus, besides for the mention of Malchus in the Bracha. Because of the Bracha, you have to make two other mentions, which we do. As Rashi pointed out, you say, okay, Havinu Malkeinu Adireinu, that's number one. Then you also say, Hamelech HaTov HaMeitiv. So have a look at Tosfos. It's the second Tosfos on the Amud. Loimah Shetzricha Beis Malchies. You have to have Malchus mentioned twice, bar midido, besides for the mention because of the actual bracha. Choda de boine Yerushalayim. Firstly, as we mentioned last time, because of boine Yerushalayim, de lav, oirach, etc., etc., it's not considered derech eretz to make mention of the Malchus of David and Shlomo, and yet not to make mention of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have a little bit of a debt. We have a choiv to pay, and we've got to pay, as it were, the malchus back. That's number one. The gam bo ein yecholin lema malchus, and also we couldn't begin the bracha with malchus to hasmuchahi. In Bein Yerushalayim, we couldn't begin with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Why not? Because Bein Yerushalayim was definitely a bracha which was smucha lechaverta. And therefore, it didn't contain in it Malchus, and yet it should. Why should it? Because if you're going to make mention of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you should certainly if you mention David and Shlomo, then certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is Al-Kain Oimra Ba'Tev HaMeitiv, and therefore you add the Malchus in the next Brach of Ba'Tev HaMeitiv. V'hoil v'homar bo malchus t'boine Yerushalayim t'lav oirach ara, etc., etc. And once you have added one extra malchus because of the catch-up, the compensation for the last bracha, because it's lav oirach ara, because it's not derech eretz, etc., 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 omanami t'birkas ha'oretz. So if you're throwing in one, you get two for free. You might as well add another malchus, because essentially there's another bracha which needed a catch-up. What was this bracha? That was the bracha of Birkas Ha'aretz. Birkas Ha'aretz, remember, also did not get its own malchus. Why not? Because it's also bracha smucha lechaverto. The Birkas Ha'aretz afal pi shehi smucha lechaverto. But hoyel veloi nitkenu bezeh achazeh. Tosfos has a little bit of a problem over here. What's Tosfos' problem? What's this issue of catching up malchus? What does that mean, to catch up compensation? If the last bracha needed malchus, then why didn't it get it? So in the case of Boin Yerushalayim, we didn't make mention of malchus. There again, it's smucha lechaverto, but it really needed one. Why did it really need one? Because if you make mention of the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of David and Shlomo, you should certainly make mention also of the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should have, but we didn't. Now, what about the second bracha in benching Birkas Ha'aretz? So in Birkas Ha'aretz, essentially, it didn't need a malchus. Why did it not need a malchus? Because it's a bracha hasmucha lechaverta. So the fact that we didn't begin Noida Lecha with a Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, L'chaira is not a problem at all. So why do we have to make up for it? Why are we adding two extra malchios in the bracha HaTov HaMeitiv? So one was a catch-up for Bein Yerushalayim, as we said, because it's lav oirach ara. It's not derech eret to ignore the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. So I understand one extra addition. But why two extra additions? So what's the explanation? Because Noida L'cha never got a malchus. But that itself is not a satisfactory explanation. Why not? Because it was a bracha smucha lechaverta. And if it was a bracha smucha lechaverto, then that's the rule. It doesn't get a malchus. You can't call that a missing malchus. It's not missing. So that's what Tosis is telling us now. Afal pi shehi smucha lechaverto. Even though technically it's true, noida lechoi smucha lechaverto, and therefore what? It never warranted a malchus in the first place. However, hoyil veloy nitkenu beze acharzem, but because they were not actually instituted one after the other. What does that mean, they were not instituted one after another? Let's not forget, diyahishua, we saw early on in the Gemara, tikein birkas haaretz. Umoisha tikein birkas hazom. So we can hardly call it really one long flow of brachas. It was instituted at two different times. They were not really instituted ever at once to say these two brachas back to back. It was two separate takonis. So therefore, even though technically at the end of the day, the way we say it, it is a bracha smucha lechaverto, but it's still fair to say that there's a missing malchus. Essentially, it's an independent bracha. Technically, it's not an independent bracha. It does come off the back of the previous one, but it was a separate takana. Therefore, says Tosfos, Mishumachi nokat malchus. Therefore, we have to make another mention of malchus. Deloy have a smuchos, because they're not really called brachas that lean on each other. Umiu. Anan, however, hoil the nitklu an aseda. So why indeed, if they're not considered smucha lechaverto, so why don't we begin noida lecha with a baruch ato Hashem? Mimon avshach. If it's considered smucha lechaverto, and that's why I never begin with a baruch ato Hashem lekeinu melech, then it's not missing. And if it is considered missing, because it's not really smucha, so why didn't we jolly well begin with a baruch ato Hashem? So that's what Tosis is explaining. No, because at the end of the day, they were instituted to be said back to back, albeit at separate times. So are they considered to be bracha smucha lechaverot or not? The answer is yes and no. Yes, because at the end of the day, that is the way that they were instituted to be said one after another. But on the other hand, not really, because it's two separate institutions, one by Moshe Rabbeinu and one by Yeshua ben Nun. So therefore, we don't say the malchus, but there is malchus missing. And for that, we catch up in the bracha of Bein Yerushalayim. The Yesh Shenoyagin, says Tosis in conclusion, some of the custom loyma of Bein Yerushalayim malchus. We don't do that. We just say, Baruch Ato Hashem, at the end of the third bracha, the way we finish is, Baruch Ato Hashem, Boine Barachmov Yerushalayim Amen. But we do not say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Boine Barachmov Yerushalayim Amen. So all the malchus that we could and should have said, we push them off to our Teva Meitiv. So it's an incredible thing. We say our Teva Meitiv maybe every single day or very often. Very important to know. That's why the word Melech appears in that bracha so often. It's a catch up from the previous brachas that didn't get the malchus that they deserved.
So, Rabbi, in the bracha hatova meitiv, why can't the melech in Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam count as malchus?
It does, but that's for its own bracha. That's what the Gemara said. I need two besides for its own personal. It needs its own personal mention because every bracha needs a melech. And remember, we always said hatova meitiv is not considered to be bracha smucha lechaverto. Why not? Because it's a bracha which is only derabbanon. So it requires its own malchus, and that's why indeed it begins. After we say, Boinei v'rachmo v'yushalayim omei, we say, Baruch ato Hashem, v'kinu melech ho'ilom, keilo v'inu malkeinu adireinu, etc. So we need one mention of malchus in its own right. Then we need two other mentions for catch-up reasons, and that's what the Gemara means. Bar means besides, midido, besides for it itself. Okay, now I'd like to press pause here for a while because I all of a sudden remember that we have not done Chazara for too long. Chazal HaKadoshim tell us that Haloimed Ve'enoi Chozer, if you learn without doing Chazara, that is like Kazoreya Ve'enoi Koitza. It's like sowing without reaping. Imagine you'd spend a whole winter sowing your field, and then comes the summer, say, no, you're going to now reap the fruits of your labor. No, I can't be bothered. Well, why did you bother sowing then? Bit of a waste of time. So Chazal equate that to learning without doing Chazara. And I think we all know that when we learn without doing Chazara, it's very, very hard, maybe impossible to recall it. And it's traditional, there's many, many Makoris to state that really minimum of four times. The Gemara should really be learned four times. So I'd like to think that everybody pretty much is learning four times, because hopefully everybody's preparing the Gemara in advance. We also learn it together in the Shir. Hopefully everyone does Chazara after the Shir, and then we always do a joint Chazara, so it's all together four times. So I'd like to go back to Daf Mem, Zayin, Omud, Aleph. I can't remember exactly the last time we did Chazara. I do know it was far too long ago. But we're going to go to Mem Zayin Omud Aleph, exactly halfway down the Omud, Tana Rabbanan. As always, we will do this quickly, and if I'm going too quickly, please stop me. Please stop me. It's halfway down the Omud. First word on the line is Toya. And the second word of the line is Tonarabon. Everybody has it?
Yep.
Basically in line with a Tosfos, Omen Yusayma. Okay. Says the Gemara, Tonarabon. Ein oinin loy omen chatufo, v'loy omen ketufo, v'loy omen Yusayma. So there's different types of omens, and there was different explanations of what those means. Rashi says omen chatufa is an omen which is not pronounced right. Instead of saying omen with a komatz, we said it with a chataf, like amen. Omen ketufa, Rashi says you missed out the nun at the end of the word omen, so it sounded like omei, without the nun at the end. And an omen yisoyma, so Rashi learned, although there were alternative explanations, but Rashi and Tosas learned, means an omen which you never heard the bracha. If you remember, Rashi and Tosas were both very concerned. Don't we have the famous Gemara that in Alexandria, the shul was so big, you could not hear the chazan, and of course, famously, they waved the flag to indicate to everybody you're supposed to say omen. So there they didn't hear omen. So Rashi and Tosa said, no, there's different, because even though they never heard the words, but they were aware that the words were being said. And they were up to Brochen Shmona Esra.
Can Amen Yisoma also be when their gap is too long between the Brochen and the Amen?
Correct. Some say Amen Yisoma, an orphaned Amen is an Amen which is not close enough to the Brocha. So it's orphaned means it's separated from the parent. Yeah, but that's not the way Rashi and Tosa learned, but I think the Shulchan Aruch does bring an opinion like that. Says the Gemara, V'loy Yizroik Omein Brocha, V'loy Yizroik Brocha Mipiv. So, not Alocha, this is not to do with the Omein, this is the actual Brocha. Don't throw the Brocha Mipiv. What does it mean, throw it? Don't rush the Brocha. This is actually very, very similar, so it brings it all to a full circle, to the principle of Ein Oisin Mitzvahis Chavilois Chavilois, which we just learned the other day. Don't bundle up with mitzvahs. Why not? Because it goes to show, as if to say that I'm in a rush to get this over and done with. So too, if you rush the bracha, it shows as if the bracha is some sort of burden. And umela, you should not do it. Rather, you should say the bracha patiently. Ben azay oime kol ha'oina omein yisayma. Chas v'shalom yubonov yisaymim. If somebody answers an omein yisayma, which, as we mentioned, according to Rashi, means you never heard the bracha clearly. then chas v'shalom, he will pass away and his children will be yisaimim. Chatufo, then yischat fu yomov, and ketufo, yischat fu yomov, chas v'shalom, his own days will be mispronounced or cut short. Rechmona litzlan. V'chol hamarech ba'omein, rather if you elongate the omein and you don't rush it, ma'arichin loy yomov v'shnoisov. People like in our generation all types of fancy schmancy segulois for arichas yomim and for all other things. And here we have one from the Gemara itself. So we don't need anything fancy schmancy. We have a segula from the Gemara for arichas yomim if somebody is marech omein. Now, if you remember, we did see in Tosfos that Tosfos says you should not be marech omein too much. It should not be said in a exaggerated fashion. So if somebody says omein and takes 5 seconds, 10 seconds over it, omein, something like that, then Tosfos says that completely loses the sound of the word omein. So that's like, also not...
Like in a Handel oratorio.
Like in a Handel auditorium. Nachum, they do that in Mishkafayim? No. So that's not what the Gemara means. What it means is marich, it means marich as opposed to chapping the omein. Where in some shuls, I think there was one shul that used to daven so fast. The joke going around about that shul is they're in such a rush to get out, they don't even give aliyahs to the Torah to anybody who's got two names. They're in such a rush. So I'll call upon him, we're not in such a rush. And certainly not to say omein. And the Gemara says, if you say omein clearly, not over an exaggerated fashion, where one says omein clearly, then one is zeicher tzarichas yomim. Bezus Hashem. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel have a yosvi besudasa. Rav Shmuel was sitting in a suda osa, Rav Simi barchia have a komisarev va'ochil. And he was rushing to eat because he wanted to now join them in Zimun. Omale Rav, ma daitcho. What is it? What's going on? Le'itzterufei bahadam. Why are you rushing to eat? Remember, you joined late and now you're rushing. So why are you rushing? You want to join us for Zimun? Ano achil nalom. We've already eaten. It's too late. We're finished eating. And if we have finished eating long before you arrived, even if you rush your lunch and you're now ready to bench together, it doesn't help because we never actually ate together. And the number one rule of Zimun was it's got to be three people who ate together. We never ate together. So the Gemara said it's not true. And if you remember, we saw this in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is Mamash Halacha L'Maisa, Rabbi Yisrael. The Gemara says, and now Amalei Shmuel, Inu maiseli ardilaya v'guzla la'aba, miloi ochlinon. If you would bring me some extra dessert, whatever these fattened meats, whatever it is, or vegetables, I would be more than happy to continue eating. Miloi ochlinon, would I not eat some more? I would. And therefore what?
Hasn't finished.
Therefore, I haven't actually finished. If you remember, Moirav Rabbeisa, this is absolutely critical. We need to know this. Because we saw this in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is Halacha L'Maisa. If two people have essentially finished, and then the third one comes along to join, even though they never actually ate at the same time, the third one only began after the other two left off. But if, in theory, numbers one and two would be happy to eat more if only they were brought more food. And the reason why they're not eating more is because there's no more available. Then that is enough to warrant a zimun. Very, 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 very big chiddush, but you see it mamish mafurish in the Gemara. That's considered together. And the answer is why? Because we haven't really finished. If there'd be more food, we'd continue eating. No, Nachum, that was just a cup of water. says the Gemara, Talmidei derav. Talmidei derav have a yosvi besudasa al Ravacha. The Talmidim of Rav were eating a suda with Ravacha, Omri, Oso, Gavra, Rabo, the Mavorich Lon. Oh, here's a big, great person who can make a bracha for us. Amalahu misavritu de godel mevarech. Do you think that the greatest person is necessarily the one who should be the one to bench? No. Ikka shebesuda mevarech. It's the one who began the meal, and I wasn't there at the beginning. So you're not supposed to be mechabed the greatest. You're supposed to be mechabed there, anybody who was there from the beginning, and I wasn't there. But we don't paskin like that. The hilchasa, we paskin alocha, godoil mevarech. So if you have an illustrious person at your meal, you should certainly be mechabed him to bench. Af algav da'osa lebesayf. Even though it's true he came at the end, again, obviously, as long as they ate together, with the definition of together, as we previously explained. But therefore, if you have an Odom Choshev around your table, then one should be mechabed him to bench. Says the Gemara, Ochal Dmai. This is now going back to the very original Mishnah in the Perek when it said that if one of the three people ate Dmai, then one is allowed to form a Zimun. Now what's going on? You're not supposed to eat Dmai. Holoi chazi lei, frit the Gemara. It's not chazi. What is it? Not chazi. It's not fitting. It's not appropriate. You weren't supposed to be eating demai. Demai is a suffix. That's why it's called demai, domai. It's a suffix where the trumas and maestras have been separated. And although there is a special dispensation for poor people, they are allowed to eat it. If you remember, we would discuss this. It's not actually, to be honest, an absolute suffix. What is it really? Roiv Amoratzim do take Trumas Umaitra. So it's only a miut. Now, B'chala Terekula, we do follow the Roiv. For whatever reason over here, Chazal were concerned about the miut. But essentially, at least in Minatera, you would be allowed to eat it. But Midrabonin, you're not. So therefore, how can you form a Zimun, says the Gemara? No. Kevin de Iboi Mafker Lahu Nechose. If in theory he would want to be mafke his nechasim, v'hava'oni, v'chazilei, I could announce that I hereby declare all my assets as hefka, which means I'm now classified as an oni. And if I become an oni, then I would be allowed to eat demai. Therefore, you cannot say that it's completely out of bounds with no heter whatsoever, because it's a Mishnah. The Tnan Machilin Eso Aniyim Demai, you're allowed to give Aniyim to Demai. You're allowed to give Demai to Aniyim, Eso Achsaniyah Demai, soldiers. V'omer Avuna Tano Beishamai Oimrim, Ein Machilin Eso Aniyim Eso Achsaniyah Demai. It's true that Beishamai disagrees, but we don't hold of Beishamai, and we hold, therefore, that you are, in fact, allowed to give, the halacha is, you're allowed to give Demai to Aniyim. So if you're allowed to give Demai to Aniyim, so if he's mafki his nechosim, the halacha would be that the oni is allowed to eat demai. So if you cannot say that it's something which is completely out of bounds, it's not. And that's why you're allowed to form zimun. Says the Gemara, the next case of the Mishnah was Maiser Rishoin Shenitlo Trumosoi. What's Maiser Rishon Shenitlo Trumosoi? The Chayre means the Levi has received his Maiser Rishoin, from which he has a chiyuv to be mafrish truma and give that to a kohen, and he's done so. Well, then it sounds too good to be true. He's done exactly what he's supposed to be doing. So obviously you can have a zimun. What on earth is the chiyuv? What is the chidush of the Mishnah? It says the Gemara, one word question, pshita, it's obvious. He's got his maaser rishon. He was supposed to take truma from that. He did take truma from that. So what's the chidush? Obviously, you can have zimun. Says the Gemara, no, Lloyd Sricha, Ela Sheik Dimu Bashibolim. He was maktim. He actually took his Maisa from the Yisrael at a stage of Shibolim, which means it was before the Yisrael had ever separated Truma, which means that we arrive in a big halachic quandary. What is the halachic shaila now that exists? When the Levi receives his maisa, besides for the truma that he as a Levi is mechuyev to separate and give it to the kohen, but let's not forget that this ma'isa that he received also has in it the initial truma that should have gone to the kohen. So it's not just his own personal truma, but it's the truma that should have been taken long before he ever arrived on the scene and was never taken. It says the Gemara, Shekdimu b'shibolim v'hifrish mimenu trumas ma'isa, but v'loi hifrish mimenu truma gedoila. But it never had separated from it truma gedoila, which is the initial truma. Says the Gemara, Uka de Rebbe Avahu. But this follows the Psak of Rav Avohu. Why, what did Rav Avohu say? The Omer Rav Avohu, Omer Rish Lakish, Maiser Rishoin, Shekdimu b'shibolim, Potur mitruma. So this is a very big chiddush. It's not so poshut after all. If you are makdim b'shibolim, shibolim means whilst it's still in a state of being corn, then you are potter from taking truma. Why? Which means Maiser min ha-maiser. You as the Levi have to take a tenth of the tenth. Omarti lecha, says the Torah, that's what you have to do. But v'loi truma gedoila v'trumas maiser min ha-maiser. You don't have to take two chiyuvim from your maiser. So when the Levi receives his maiser, what's he mukhiyav to separate from that ma'isa? And the answer is another tenth, but not more than that. So if that's the case, that's why this Mishnah is, in fact, a chidush after all. Don't tell me it's so overwhelmingly obvious he's done everything he should, and of course you can form a zimun. Not so poshut. Not so poshut. Essentially, you're eating food which has never had truma gedola separated from it. That's the chidush, like Rav Avohu. Once the Levi gets his ma'isa, then he's not mukhuyev to separate anything but his own personal truma, but not the initials truma of the Yisrael. Says the Gemara, one second, still not so poshut. Omalei Rav Papa Labaye Yochi, if that's true, if you're telling me that a Levi does not have to give the Yisrael's truma, he only has to give his own truma, then why did you talk about a case of where he took it as shibolim? Afilu hikdimu bekri nami. Even if he took his maisa when the produce of the Yisrael had already been piled up, it wasn't shibolim, it all piled neatly stacked in the field, even then, wouldn't we say the same? That, yes, perhaps you shouldn't have taken maisa, but now that you've done so, you don't have to take truma gedola. So he said, no, that case is worse. Omalei olecha omar kro. About your case, the Torah speaks about. What does the Torah say? Mikol maisroi seichem. What does it mean, mikol maisroi seichem? We have a special drasha. You've got to take all your maisros. What does all your maisros mean? Not only your own personal one, but also the one that the Yisrael should have taken. Now, one second. I thought we just had a pasuk that indicated the other way around. The answer is yes. We have two psukim. One says you do, and one says you don't. So how do you know which pasuk refers to what? Says the Gemara, Uma ro'isa. And what did you see in the psukim to indicate that in this case it's worse, and you've got to take not only your own ma'isa, but also the ma'isa, the truma that the Yisrael should have taken? And the answer is, hai idgan v'hai loy idgan. One has been made into grain, meaning it's been piled up, and that is always the critical cutoff point in Ilchas Truma Sumaisras, and one hasn't. So therefore, when it's been put into a pile, that is now fully qualified grain. And if it's fully qualified grain, the chiyuv of truma has kicked in. And if you preempted the kohen and you took your ma'isa first, then I'm sorry, you've still got to give that truma, besides for your own truma from the ma'isa. If, however, it has not been piled up into grain, then you do not have to take the Yisrael's truma.
So in the latter case, he could not join a zimun.
Correct. Yeah, very good. So if you took it when it was in the Kri, so then basically you're eating Tevel. And we already learned in the Mishnah that Tevel definitely cannot be eaten to form as a Zimun. Correct, 100%. Says the Gemara, Maisa Sheni Vehektosh Sheniftu. The halach is, if you have Maisa Sheni or Hektosh, if it's redeemed, once it's redeemed, it's lost its status and you can do whatever you like with it. So once again, we have the overwhelming question, Sapshita. So it's obvious. Once it's been redeemed, you could do whatever you like, and therefore, what's the chiddush? Says the Gemara, no, hocha b'maya skinon. Do you know what we're talking about? Kegoin she'nosan es ha'keren v'loi nosan es ha'choymesh. But you did not add the fifth. Halacha is, whenever you redeem ma'ase sheni or hektosh, you've got to add an extra 20%. Some say 25%. And over here, we're being taught that even if you redeemed it, and he did not add the extra fifth, nonetheless, he's allowed to form a Zimun. Oh, not so simple after all. After all, you do have to add the fifth, and he didn't do so. Says the Gemara, yeah, that's true. The Hakomash Malon, and what we're being taught is the Ein Chaimesh Ma'akiv. Because at the end of the day, the Chaimesh is not critical, it's not Ma'akiv, does not withhold the redemption. So for definitely lechatchila, of course, you've got to take fifth extra, but if you didn't do so, it is not ma'akif. But that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. One more line of the Gemara. Hashamash she'ochal kezayis. If the shamash, who was the waiter, ate a kezayis, so he's allowed to form a zimun. Isn't that obvious as well? Pshita? Question mark? No. Ma'o detema, I would have thought that maybe shamash loy kavua, loy keva. I would have thought maybe the shamash is not considered an established part of this meal. Why not? Because he's not really sitting down, eating together with us. He's sort of standing and sitting and walking and going and coming back and forth. Maybe he's not considered part of the kavias. So kamash malon that he is. That is the chiddush. It's not so obvious. That's the chiddush. No. Because he ate the meal with you, even though it wasn't there perhaps on a permanent basis, but he is nevertheless considered part of your meal, and Mamela, he is allowed to form Zimun together with you. Okay, so we'll hold it over here, Bez Hashem, and I'd recommend everybody should do their own Chazara in addition to ours, and Bez Hashem will reconvene tomorrow.
Cool.
Okay, good Chodesh to all. Be well.